Right now, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Legendary monsters and spirits live wherever there are people to tell their tales, including Wisconsin. Artist Mike Bass tells us about the Wisconsin folklore that inspire his artwork.
I've always been interested, I guess, in stories that relate to the supernatural or just things unknown. I found a lot of articles around the turn of the century, 1800s to the 1900s, about a monster in Lake Mendota. It was actually a monster that was seen in all five lakes, but primarily in Mendota. It ranged from 35 feet to 70 feet, depending on the person who was explaining it. They all said it had a horse-like face. Some said it was menacing, some said it was friendly. In some cases, it caused harm and did damage, tipped over boats, ate small animals that were swimming too far offshore. And in other instances, it, you know, tickled people's feet while they were swimming or laying on the shore. So it was kind of funny. So I did three prints in the first series: the Lake Mendota Monster, the Wendigo, and then also the Witches of Picnic Point. I didn't put the horse-like face on Mendota Monster. I kind of gave him my own interpretation, but he was definitely serpentine long and had kind of scales and fins. The Wendigo, I kind of adapted a lot of images of him that I've seen based on, you know, just artist representations and then how the native culture actually depicted him. He was kind of a gaunt, tall creature and oftentimes has horns in the face of a deer, which was kind of neat to me. And then the Witches of Picnic Point, they're supposed to be hackberry trees. And if you've ever seen a hackberry tree, they kind of just have that really warty and bumpy kind of bark that's really kind of characteristic of that tree. Art has always been a big part of what I do. The history, I don't know, I just like to know things, I think. So I've always been a digger and a scratcher and looking into things. I grew up in Wisconsin. I've been here my whole life. I listen to my family tell stories, about these things. My father had a long line of friends and kind of jokesters and tricksters, and they all would tell stories, you know, when they gathered around in the basement. My mom's family also just had lots of different stories. You know, they grew up on, her folks grew up on a farm in southwestern Wisconsin, so there's kind of that connection to rural America and just scary things that happened in the very, very dark. There's a bounty of stories in Wisconsin folklore. There's just a bounty of stories of just weird and strange occurrences in Wisconsin. So, you know, I mean, everybody loves a good story. We do have a very rich mythology. I would have to disagree with anybody that would say we don't.
Mike Bass is an artist and associate creative director at Knupp & Watson in Madison. Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. Wisconsin Life is a collaboration between Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council.
And while Wisconsin may not be famed for Bigfoot sightings, we've got plenty of monsters and plenty of mysteries that have sparked the same kind of lore Mike Bass shared with us. So from the vampire of Mineral Point to the phantom chickens of Chicken Alley, Chad Lewis joins us now to share some of those stories. He is a Wisconsin-based paranormal researcher and the author of Unexplained Research. Chad, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, glad to be here.
You know, we heard from Mike Bass just a few minutes ago, and he said, you know, that we do have a rich mythology here in Wisconsin. And from where you sit, you know, how do we compare to other states? Are we about average in terms of these stories, or are there pockets around the country where you hear more of these things than others?
Actually, Wisconsin seems to be a hotbed for these monsters and stories. I've traveled the world collecting these stories, and every state, every region has their own uniqueness. But there's something about Wisconsin, whether people feel more comfortable coming forward with it or there's more researchers collecting it, but we do have just a great amount of weird tales.
And so if we are looking at sighting monsters or having some of those weird tales, if you look at a map of Wisconsin, are they sort of evenly spread throughout the state, or do you find them in one place more than another?
If you take a map of Wisconsin and throw a dart anywhere, you will find somewhere that has a monster story. And that's the beauty of it. You can be way up in the North Woods and do some Bigfoot research. You can be in Madison, as we just heard, and do some sea serpent research. You can be on the West Coast side. You know, even up in Door County, you'll have more than you could ever possibly imagine.
So do the monsters that we have, are they scary, creepy monsters, or are they just interesting, sort of friendly monsters, or do they cover the waterfront?
A little bit of both. When we look at the Beast of Bray Road down in Elkhorn, Wisconsin, which is Wisconsin's werewolf creature, that seems to be, you know, this tall, mashed down fur, long snout, really terrifying creature for witnesses that see it. But then when you compare that with the Phantom Chickens of Chicken Alley, that seems to me more of a fun and just kind of goofy and really odd, you know, these chickens that appear and then disappear right before your eyes.
Yeah, you must tell me more about the Phantom Chickens of Chicken Alley, because I've lived in Wisconsin my entire life, and I've never heard of the Phantom Chickens, ever.
Not too far from Green Bay is a small town called Seymour. Out in the middle of nowhere is this small stretch of road aptly named Chicken Alley.
Mm-hmm.
And for years, people have been driving down, and all of a sudden, they believe to have run over real chickens. They see them, they hit them, they get out to discover the roadkill and the damage, only to find that there's nothing there. Others told me that they actually saw these chickens disappear right before their eyes, and they leave the area believing they've run over those phantom chickens.
So any, you know, really sort of creepy clucking or anything that takes place, or that's kind of a noise-free experience?
Yeah, most of the people that have had the experience are so convinced that they've run over something that's a flesh and blood creature that some have even gone door to door on the half a dozen or so homes that are on the road asking if anyone's raising chickens. And of course, it's farm country, but nobody has chickens. So they're really puzzled as to what happened to them.
Let's move on to some other monsters, because we've got plenty to talk about, including Pepe. And this sounds like a friendly monster, the Lake Pepin Sea Serpent.
Yes, if you're looking for spring to spring forward and go out, head over to Lake Pepin, which, of course, is on the Mississippi River, bordering Wisconsin and Minnesota. Dating back to the 1800s, we have newspaper accounts of this large monster, sea serpent, for lack of a better term, in Lake Pepin. And the people of Lake City, Minnesota are so convinced that Pepe's real, they're offering a $50,000 reward for anyone who can capture evidence of it.
$50,000? Okay, I know
what
I'm
so
doing this
all
weekend.
All you have to do is catch it.
Yeah, all I got to do is catch it, huh? Okay. All right, so I'm going to make a trip over to Lake Pepin, Lake City, and catch up with Pepe. So has Pepe been documented? I mean, all the way along, there have been newspaper articles for the last 150 years or whatever?
Yes. Well, we know there are Native American legends about any time anyone went missing, they blamed it on Pepe. The earliest newspaper account we have is from 1867, but the most recent reports come from 2014. So this is something that's been going on for this long, long period. And it's ironic that Lake Pepin is the birthplace of water skiing as well.
And maybe there's a relationship there, but we can let somebody else figure that out. And whoever gets the $50,000, we will have them on Central Time to talk about that. Other monsters, we can talk about another new one for me, the gnomes of the Devil's Punch Bowl. I don't know. I know what a gnome is. I know vaguely what a punch bowl is. But you're going to have to put all these things together for me.
Right outside of Menominee, Wisconsin, not too far from UW-Stout campus, is the Devil's Punch Bowl, a beautiful area, hiking area, a waterfall, the rocks. Native Americans thought it was a sacred area. And for years, people have been going there hiking, just wonderful area, when all of a sudden they see what appears to be a wee folk, the little people, the gnomes, the goblins. And when they try to catch a glimpse, they turn around and these things either have darted back into the woods or disappeared right before their eyes. And I've talked to maybe half a dozen people who claim that when they were out hiking there, they too saw the little people of the punch bowl.
And finally, let's head back up north and talk about, I'm reading this, so I know it's real, the pancake-wielding aliens of Eagle River. And it's hard to say that without laughing. What are aliens doing in Eagle River, first of all, and why do they have pancakes?
Well, in 1961, local farmer Joe Simonton encountered this craft in the back of his yard, and he went out there, and then without anything being discussed, he knew they wanted water.
Mm.
This ship with these beings that he called looked like very small Italian men in a spacecraft. And he brought them water, saw they were cooking what appeared to be some pancake-type thing on a fireless grill, and they gave him three of these saucer cakes, as he called them. He ate one and said it was terrible, and he sent the other two off for analysis, and conspiracy theories are all over the board as to what happened with those other two, but he traded water for space pancakes.
And so those pancakes are probably in New Mexico someplace in a secret place, I would think.
Yes, they're right with the Roswell aliens.
Okay. So as time marches on, Chad, do we see the interest in monsters waning, or is this just a constant part of our life here in Wisconsin?
What I've seen over the last 20 years is not only do people want to hear about these things, read about them, then they want to go see them or try to experience them for themselves. And that's the newest tourism out there, is people going to these legend trips, these places where these monsters reside, and they want to see them. They want to come face to, well, not really face with these things.
All right. Monster tourism. Something else to put on my list. Chad, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, keep an eye out.
I will, too. You know I will. I'm absolutely going to do that. We've been talking with Wisconsin-based paranormal researcher Chad Lewis about Wisconsin's monsters.